Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chief Researcher John Gage.
Well, good morning. I wanted to thank Ken from Katoja. That woke us up in the morning, and I hear by the whistles, you're getting ready for World Cup. We're only 3 weeks from World Cup. So this is the World Cup. This is the Java World Cup. This has people from every country in the world. This has people building things. You saw that sign held up by everybody, and everybody in this room would hold up a similar sign that we can take the technology and make it do something. 11th year of Java 1, 11 years of trying to build common interfaces, common development environments, something that enables the now more than a billion devices that communicate with each other to do something that can change how people live. Now, San Francisco has always been, a few years ago we said we might take the island of Kauai for a Java 1. We still should consider that. San Francisco's an island unto itself. I hope you read the paper this morning. Here we build the technology that drives a billion devices that are the core of communication. Every person in this room has one, and many of the people in this room have written the code that runs them. And in federal court in San Francisco tomorrow, there'll be a discussion of why we have not yet implemented the end-to-end encryption that would enable what we use to communicate with each other to be free from, well, in this case, it's a lawsuit about the American National Security Agency and how it's been listening to the phone calls of more or less everybody in this room. So San Francisco's an interesting place. Last night over at the Thirsty Bear, the Genie community, very thirsty community, was taking every aspect of the distributed systems, the ability elegantly to allow devices anywhere communicating somehow to search your resources, allocate resources, do it elegantly, and do it with some security. That style, that elegance, that building of software systems that all of us can understand is why we're here. And we have 188 sessions between now and 5 o'clock Friday to go to. Those are just the technical sessions. In there the labs, in there the birds of a feather. So you'd think we'd be able to organize this in an absolutely clear way. Not quite. Human beings have changing patterns of usage. That's why we have to build dynamically self-adjusting systems. That's why protocols are so important. So for those that are new to Java 1, I'm going to carry you through just a little bit of, well, how do I build my schedule so that I can meet as many people as I need to meet, and then probably meet twice as many more by accident, who in the end may turn out to be the most important people in my life anyhow. So we can be too organized. In this case, here's how it works. All of you have probably seen this large yellow piece of paper that says, all attendees must use Schedule Builder. So there is an imperative here. Why? Well, all of you remember some of the sessions last year, 15 or so, were so jammed. These are graduate sessions for 1,000 or 2,000 people. So when you want to go to that particular event and can't get in, it's upsetting. So this is designed, the hope, is to allow us to reschedule, duplicate the sessions that have so many people that would like to go that we can't accommodate them. So here's how it works. Slight adjustments to what this yellow sheet says. Arrive at the session. So you've gone to Schedule Builder. When I went to Schedule Builder, I don't know if it happened to you. I put my card in so I could log in. So the sunray lit up. There's the screen. And then it asked me to insert the number my registration number. So how do I do that? Oh, it's on the card that's in the sunray. You pull the card. So always carry a pen. That's a rule. Always carry a pen. And paper is critically important. Critically important. So on paper, you have the little guide. This is the week. There's a lot in here. So take a look at all that, then go to Schedule Builder, find the things you really want to go to, mark them all down, and enroll in them. Now, show up. You show up at one of these rooms, that's a 2,000 person room, and you have to put the card in, and then you go in. So, fine, things are good, things are good, things are good. And you didn't get in. It said full on schedule. You can still go, because there'll be a second line for everybody that could, because remember, human beings change. So my guess is there's a 10-15% slop rate here where people will show up or won't. So get in line, and then you probably will be able to get into the session. But even if you can't, there are reschedulings. How do you find out about that? Well, you go to Java One Today. Here is the paper. In the back, there are announced this morning 3 repeated labs and 1 repeated tech session. Well, these are out of date, so you have to go back to Schedule Builder, look at the one that was full, just do a search on it, use its little number, or the person who's giving its name, search, you'll find out if a new one's been scheduled. And every morning, we're going to put out a big list of all the rescheduleds, because our goal is to bring as much knowledge to bear and in your hands so you can go home and you can teach everyone else. And of course, to make that work really well, everything that is in those sessions will be online. In fact, for most sessions at this moment, PDFs are up with the slides for the session. Remember, in your school, you always thought you'd prepare for the lecture. Well, now that you're a grown-up person, you can actually do it and look at the things before you go in the room so you have some idea of what they're going to talk about and have a deeper absorption rate for what's going to happen inside. And when all else fails, on the second page, actually the third page of today's java.sun.com Java One Today newspaper, there's a picture of a happy-looking person named Robert Eckstein. Robert says, if you can't find it in Schedule Builder, if it doesn't work, my email is robert.eckstein@sun.com. Put in the subject line, please repeat, as an example, TS12345, and Robert, will take the mail and he'll get the rescheduling troops in place and will find rooms and will repeat the session. So that's the pathway to Robert. And in the back, you'll find all of the tomorrow's extensions to the programs that have not yet been scheduled today. So that's the mechanism. Go to the sessions, get in line, and you'll probably get in, but if you don't, Robert is your tapstone to get to the next thing. So what else did I want to tell you about? Oh, yes. I don't know if you looked at IEEE in the software mag, but there's a new column by Grady Booch. And Grady has this one lovely sentence. And it's something I think that all of us, after the many hours of Java 1 on Friday, are going to turn to our friends and say, did this promise that Java 1 brought to us, was it accomplished? Did I manage to meet people during this conference? Remember our basic rule, all of you that have been to Java 1 low these 11 years, don't be shy. That's the rule. That means go to people you don't know. At lunch, there will be tables, and above the table, it will say healthcare, if you're interested in healthcare, finance, telecom. Eat lunch with people that you don't know. Think of the density of intelligence at this meeting. You're not going to run into dumb people. What you're going to do is meet people that you ordinarily would not meet. So if you're sitting at lunch with people that you already know, deduct a few points from your attendance score because you're not taking advantage of the richness and diversity of what this meeting's all about. So that's a basic rule. All right, I've been holding back on this, but because there's World Cup, every year I say, what? Yes, that is it. Because there's World Cup, what country has the right style for Java 1? What country always wraps their arms around people? Everybody at Java 1 is now declared to be a Brazilian. That's the rule. There is a Brazilian. So if they can behave that way, all of us can behave that way. That's the rule. So that's how we're going to start Java 1. So here's Grady's comment in his new column. He's going through a catalog, a series of examinations of very large software systems. And his sentence is, by exposing these systems' inner beauty, I hope to inspire developers who want to build on the experience of other well-engineered systems. We're here to build well-engineered systems, and even more, to build beautiful systems. So with that, let's begin Java 1. And remember, nobody sleeps, everybody's Brazilian, nobody's shy. And we're going to go straight into Jonathan Schwartz, who will describe to us how the world of Java has expanded and how we're an ever-swelling group conquering all those areas that we had never thought possible before. With that, thank you so much for coming to Java 1.
Good morning. And I guess I'm here to what John just said, to talk to you about the swelling Java community. And for those of you that don't know, I actually had the privilege of getting a new job recently. And and it's actually not the job that you all are thinking about. This job's actually a job share. And I got to be the number one chief Java evangelist. And I'm so tired of being number two, and now I can be number one. Now, with that, you know, it's funny, I get a lot of flack for being a software guy and for always talking about free stuff. And, you know, I read online and I read what some folks, especially in the investment community, say about it. And, you know, on the one hand, I had two choices. Today I could come to Java 1, dress in a suit and tie, and try to keep everybody calm and make sure that all this commentary about free and open source software didn't actually affect the rest of Sun's business. Or I could actually take the other tack and, with a suit and tie on, probably move to a slide that will terrify a lot of people, which says, now it's all about free kit. So with that, I'd like to invite all of you that haven't had the opportunity to download hardware to come to the Sun Microsystems website and get yourself a free Niagara box. And so free will, in fact, have an impact on the rest of our business as well. You know, what's life without risk? Now, I think there's one thing that should be evident by the size of the hall here today, and I think by last count, this is the largest Java 1 potentially ever in the history of Java 1s. I think at this point, it's just indisputable. The Java community has never been more vibrant than it is today. And I've been traveling the world, and everywhere I go, Java is having a tremendous impact on the evolution of the network, on the evolution of technology. And as I pointed out last year, it's having a marked impact on the evolution of society. The network is changing how all of us live and how we serve one another and how governments serve their citizens, how citizens serve other citizens. Now, that's not a result of simply Sun Microsystems. That's a result of an organization which I'm proud to announce today has 1,052 members. It's called the Java Community Process. Now, for those of you that don't know, and I'll ask the question, how many of you are members of the JCP as individuals? There aren't enough of you raising your hands. This is not a heavyweight corporate application kind of environment. You go to jcp.org, you register as an individual. Now you too are a member of the process that governs the evolution of the Java platform. There's going to be a lot of discussion in the next few days about the governance of Java and how it is we continue to evolve in an ever-growing and swelling market. And we want to make sure that all of you have your voice heard in that process. This is not about corporations defining a technology platform. This is about users and citizens and developers defining that platform. Now, there's a bunch of organizations on here. I would probably say one of my favorite is in the bottom left of the slide. It's a user group down in Brazil called SuJava. And having just been in Brazil, and I was mentioning to someone earlier, it is an environment which is absolutely on fire. The technology is evolving everywhere. The government understands the role of open source and open standards. The individuals who are a part of that process are driving forward on everything from the next generation of telecommunications to the next generation of mobile entertainment to the next generation of set-top boxes. And again, these are the organizations, just a few of them listed here, who are continuing to blaze the trail, who are not looking to Sun to define the future of Java, but instead are looking to the community to define the future of Java. Now, there's one individual who has a somewhat unique relationship to Java, because I think it was in this hall about 11 years ago that he assisted in the introduction of Java to the marketplace. And so I have the distinct honor and privilege of inviting up Ed Zander, the Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Motorola.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Great to be here, everybody.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Ah, it's great to be back.
Yeah.
You know, long time.
Are you coming back to Sun? That's what I hear. You know, it's a lot of boomerangs at Sun.
Got a job?
No, I don't. Actually, we might. You know, and I put on a tie for you today, Ed. And I
dressed down. I never could figure out the dress code of these things. One time I came here with a tie and they booed me off the stage, so. Yeah.
So you were telling me backstage it was 11 years ago that you were in this very convention center. And why don't you tell us about what that experience was like?
Actually, James will probably remember, because I did teach James about Java back in the 80s and taught him how to code. A true story, 11 years ago in Moscone Center here, with a crowd about just the size of this front section, we put on a network conference. And the funny thing about it was Java had third billing. We announced something called Netra. At the time, we talked about Netscape with Mark Andreessen here.
Uh-huh.
We said, okay, and there's also this language or this environment called Java. And the rest is history. It's just amazing. It's stunning to see what 11 years can do. So thank you all. I just think it's just great to see what's happened in 11 years.
And just as a test, how many of you have Razr phones?
Motorola phones?
Yeah, that's even broader. So why don't you tell us what's going on at Motorola?
Well, we're about to experience, I think this, what you see here is fantastic. I'd like to challenge you that 10, 11 years from now, we triple the size of this audience and a lot of it around mobile communications, because what's happening, what I'm finding out in this next period of time, or these next few years, is just what we've done for the last 10 years. And that is to bring applications and services to these devices. The internet is going mobile. Mobile broadband is just going to change the fundamentals of how we deliver applications and services to mobile. We've talked about it for years with 3G and 4G networks, with the kinds of content we're developing. We're now beginning a new process of delivering these applications. But the thing we really need is what we've just done here for the enterprise and for desktops, and that is a delivery mechanism or a service delivery platform. And I can't think of a better one than Java. We're in the usual battle against proprietary alternatives. And I'm here to try to get everybody in this room interested in mobility, mobile applications, write to Java, and develop this next generation of applications in an open and standard type of format.
So Motorola, I think, has clearly blazed the trail with Java on mobile devices and really helped to define the future of mobile computing. And I've got two questions for you. One, where do you see Java?
Wait, you said close to me.
I don't know. Maybe we can get them. I have two questions. One is, where do you see the future of Java? What's the role of Java at Motorola?
Well, we're betting on, in fact, I brought along, this is the hottest selling product in China right now called Ming. And this is a Java Linux entire platform. And it's it just lends itself to the Java world. This is our new music platform, Rocker E2, 1,000 songs, all based on Java Linux that's being launched. This is a product, our sliver. In fact, this is the red sliver we just announced over in the UK as part of an effort to with Bono on fighting disease in Africa. This is also a Java platform. So we're betting all of our, and we're doing right now almost 200 million of these things a year. And we're going to be moving.
200 million a year.
The industry, just to let you know, the opportunity for all of you out there, this year, this industry will ship close to a billion. A billion of these devices worldwide.
But Motorola individually will outship the PC industry.
We ship 90 million in 6 months. And what we're moving is almost as fast as we can to a Java and then Java Linux platform. So we need developers. We need a couple of things. Your help. We need to make sure Java stays unified for the mobile world.
Absolutely.
So that all, even our competitors and all of the platform developers write once, run everywhere on these devices. We need to get moving on solving security, DRM, how we deliver these applications in a great format, and get the applications ported now, because as I said, we do have the usual competitors driving for this design win.
So the second question is, when can I get a red silver phone?
Well,
sorry, I don't want to put you on the spot there.
No, one of the gifts we are going to give you is this new red sliver for you, but I do have to put a plug in, or my people will kill me. We are, if you want to know about what we're doing, MotoDev is our developer platform for Java.
And I hear you just endorsed NetBeans. We were very pleased to see that.
We sure did.
Thank you very much for the support.
OpenSource.com, we're contributing a lot of our technology to the open source, both on Linux and Java capability.
And what's the URL for developers then?
OpenSource.moat.com.
Got it.
And finally, we do have a contest, which we'll be giving away later in the week, some of these really exciting new products. It's code Moto, and if you write your application, we've got a panel, and on Thursday's keynote here, we'll announce the winners and give away some of these new products.
And now, you may not know it, but we actually have a contest here every year. It's unfortunately known by the name of Dookie, but it's the Duke's Choice Award. These are actually awards that we give out every year to the most innovative and, frankly, the devices and applications and services that really define the future of Java. So I'm actually pleased to announce this year's Duke's Choice Award winner for the best music phone. Happens to be none other than Motorola. So
thank
congratulations.
You.
And
So nice.
So well done.
That's great, Jonathan. Thanks so much.
There you go. If you can, you could take that to the Gartner Symposium. You could just carry it.
That's right.
With the big interview. So look, thank you very much for the endorsement and sponsorship. I think the contribution of the Motorola community has been absolutely fabulous. And I just want to remind everybody, you know, head on over to Motorola.com and figure out what you can do to go grow the platform even broader.
And right to Java. Great job, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Ed.